This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. For most of the last decade, the prevailing story for ski resorts here in the Northeast has been snow, or lack thereof, and questions of how resorts will cope with the warming climate in the decades to come. As time passes, many mountains will face another problem, aging ski lifts. Brendan Burrell is a correspondent for Outside Magazine, where he reported that some two-thirds of chairlifts around the country are more than 20 years old, and nearly 100 of those were installed more than half a century ago. Brendan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the ski industry had its first fatality, chairlift fatality, in 24 years this winter. That was specifically due to electrical or mechanical problems. So what happened and where?
That was at this Granby ski resort in Colorado. A real tragedy. Basically, a 40-year-old woman from Texas and her two daughters were riding up a lift called the Quick Draw Express. And the lift suddenly jerked forward, and it flung her and her daughters against a pole or a sign, and they fell off the lift. And the mother died, and one of the daughters was life-lighted and must be in serious condition. So an accident like that has not happened in many decades, and it's a real tragedy.
It is. It's terrible. But how are chairlifts maintained and regulated? Who's in charge of that?
Well, it's a real patchwork. It depends on where you live exactly. Some states have oversight boards, potentially. In Vermont, for instance, there is a specific tramway board that oversees chairlifts. In other states, it might be, say, a agency tasked with overseeing amusement park rides. And a lot of places out west, there isn't any specific oversight. And so the ski lifts rely upon, say, the insurance companies that are insuring their ski lifts will send out an inspector. And many of them follow a set of voluntary standards that the industry has developed over the last 50 years.
I didn't realize that there's actually a New Hampshire connection here, that one of the first accidents to spur industry standards happened right here in New Hampshire.
That's right. I think it was up at Gunstock Mountain in the 1950s. There was a real tragic accident. One of the chairlift cables snapped, and it killed a person and injured several others. And this was kind of this period when, you know, there was a free-for-all. The U.S. had been developing ski areas at this rapid pace, and they were just stringing up chairlifts all over the mountain. And, you know, you'd call in a local engineer, and they sort of were figuring things out on their own, and there weren't any national standards or guidelines about how to actually string a chairlift on a mountain. And so that accident was a wake-up call, and a bunch of members of industry got together, and they started drafting a code, and this code has sort of been updated every 5 or 10 years, I believe, as, you know, with advances in technology and our knowledge of how to make ski areas safer. But that's kind of the guideline, the Bible, if you will, for maintaining and operating ski lifts safely.
Well, what are the biggest concerns for an aging ski lift? I mean, something mechanical can last for years if maintained properly, right?
Oh, that's right. I mean, we have bridges. I mean, this is a massive piece of infrastructure, like a bridge or a highway overpass. And parts of it are going to last a really, really long time, whereas other parts might wear out more quickly. So I think the industry is very quick to say that you can't say that a chairlift is too old, because it's actually, you know, the parts are constantly changing. It's like if you have an old car and, you know, you replace the radiator and you replace the tires, you can keep the thing going and you can keep it going safely. But you have to be really careful about it, and you have to be checking things and being diligent and replacing parts after their estimated lifespan. So a lot of the mechanical parts that are moving, those are easy to test and watch out for, wearing on the gears. What some of the sources I talked to told me were some of the big concerns for the future is the aging of the metal itself, the fatiguing of the lift poles, because this is something that big ski resorts have the kind of tools to be able to test the integrity of the metal and so on. But that's actually something that smaller ski resorts struggle with, and it's pretty expensive to get somebody in there to check all this stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the smaller ski mountains around here seems like they're barely keeping their doors open as it is. But there have been some warnings. There's a company that comes up a few times in your article. It's called Borvig, a lift manufacturer, which closed its door back in the 90s. Now, how does this company factor in?
That's right. I mean, so they many of the lifts out east are were manufactured by Borvig, which, you know, was one of the major companies. And there was a recent accident in West Virginia last February where the arm of one of the lifts, so basically you have a pole and then an arm that comes out with the wheels on it, and the chairlift cable rides on those wheels. And that lift arm snapped while there were people on it. Nobody was killed, but there were some injuries. And it was just a scary thing to happen. I mean, it was a very, you know, it's the last thing you want to happen is to be sitting on a lift and suddenly feel yourself falling, right? Part of the issue with that, you know, it wasn't that the lift was necessarily that the company, you know, had failed. And in fact, what happened was about 25 years ago, the company had sent out a warning to ski areas to say, hey, actually, you know, we're noticing some cracks developing on the arm. Here is a part. It was a type of bolt. You need to add this part to your lift. Well, lo and behold, this ski area, according to the people I talked to, never added that bolt. And, you know, and here we are 25 years later, and the thing snapped. And so I think that sort of draws attention to the fact that, you know, these older parts and the record keeping at some resorts may not be up to par. You're also relying upon the skill of the mechanics you hire. And that was a second problem that I discovered, which is that a lot of the guys working at ski areas are younger these days. You know, many of the old season employees have retired and moved on. And so the younger guys might not be as familiar with these old lifts and how, you know, in their entire life, like I said, the parts changing out, what they learned along the way. And so this is definitely a second challenge.
Brendan Burrell is with us. He's a correspondent for Outside Magazine, where he reported on the aging chairlifts at ski areas around the country. Nearly 100 of them in the country are more than half a century old and badly in need of repair. Brendan, how are accidents on chairlifts reported?
Well, there's no national sort of governmental tally of chairlift accidents. So again, this is a state-by-state thing. And the other way that accidents are tallied is the National Ski Areas Association. They keep sort of a track of some of the accidents and incidents that have occurred, but it's in no way comprehensive. As I discovered during my reporting, you know, they have a list. I think they said there had been 73 injuries since 1973, but when I started looking, I found an additional injury that they hadn't marked down. So that's kind of, you know, it's great that they're keeping track. I think that's a really important thing for the industry to do, and it shows transparency. But at the same time, it would be really great if the government was keeping track of these statistics. And I just want to emphasize that, you know, focusing on the negative is, of course, very dangerous. There have been incredibly few accidents from mechanical failures. Most of the time when you go skiing, the biggest risk is other skiers or your own failure to stop or hit an obstacle. And so the lift malfunctions are actually pretty low down on the list. I think the reason that it's important is because this is the point during your day when you are a passive participant and you're, you know, completely handing off your safety to the ski resort. And so even though it's a very slim risk and, you know, you shouldn't be so scared about hopping on a chairlift, I think it's important that, you know, the ski lifts take that responsibility seriously.
What is actually keeping mountains from updating their lifts? Is it just the cost?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the lift mechanics I spoke to were passionate about what they did, and they love skiing, and they don't want anybody to get hurt on the mountain. But they're always butting up against cost. 30 years ago, it cost about $200,000, $300,000 to install a new lift. Today, it's like $1 to $2 million. So the costs have soared. And so ski areas, especially smaller ones, you know, not every ski hill is a Vail or an Aspen. They've got to make do with what they have. And they're going to try to keep repairing things and keeping them going for as long as possible.
So if somebody's going, planning a day of skiing, is there any place to check on the age or condition of the ski lift?
Unfortunately, there's not. That's what I found is, you know, potentially there are some websites where you can look at the age of a lift. But again, I think the best thing to do is just kind of to give it the smell test where, you know, does your resort seem like they're maintaining the lodge? Are the ski poles looking rusty? What I'd heard was in West Virginia that, you know, there was a bad paint job on the ski poles. It was looking pretty ratty. But other than that, making sure that the operation is professional, I think it's a challenge. I don't think that most skiers or consumers are equipped to judge a piece of equipment like that. I mean, when you drive across a highway overpass, how do you know if it's safe? And we know, we've seen the government reports that our nation's infrastructure is failing. But we require, you know, that's why this issue demands regulatory oversight.
Brendan Burrell, correspondent for Outside Magazine, thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You can find a link to Brendan's article on aging chairlifts at wordofmouthradio.org.